Hey friends, Dr. Hans here, the Investing Tutor, and we are back with the Investing Tutor podcast. Friends, we're kicking this off with an amazing interview I had with Trey Edwards. He's a manager at Coinbase. This conversation, this dialogue speaks to something I'm incredibly passionate about, which is making sure to provide information, guidelines, the on-ramp for underrepresented groups to be able to tap into incredible opportunities as it relates to the ability to build generational wealth and legacy. So if that's something that you are interested in, passionate about, listen to this episode. And if you are interested in being a part of the Bitcoin Africa community, also known as the BA Crypto Club, make sure to hit me up. I'm available on Instagram at The Investing Tutor. Okay, friends, I'm not gonna hold you up anymore. Enjoy this episode. You're going to learn a ton about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency.
Welcome to the Investing Tutor Podcast, the show for professionals looking to master the most up-to-date strategies needed to build wealth and provide a stable financial future. Here's your host, Dr. Hans Boateng.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. This event is sponsored by Bitcoin Africa, which is a community focused on educating everyone, especially underrepresented groups, about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. My name is Renata, and I'm the executive assistant for Dr. Hans. Today, we have a very special guest for you, Trey Edwards. Trey Edwards is the manager at Coinbase, and he became one of the youngest people in the world to earn their master's degree in blockchain and digital currency. Now he helps others wrap their head around this technology. Blockchain and digital currency are reinventing the way that money works. Mr. Edwards helps people by bridging the gap and teaches these concepts in a way that makes sense for everyone. He is on Twitter at Trey Edwards, that's TreyEdwards 919. Also with us is Dr. Hans, the founder of Bitcoin Africa. Dr. Hans earned his Path of Distinction MBA from William and Mary and a doctorate from St. John Fisher College. He was born and raised in Ghana, West Africa, and he recognizes the lack of investment literacy in the immigrant and minority households. But after reading...
Oh, I think we lost Renata, but I'm sure she'll be back up. Oh, there she is.
I'm so sorry, but I don't know what happened there. it seemed to just drop me, but I was introducing Dr. Hans. Okay, so Dr. Hans, after reading 400 books and 40,000 financial articles and spending 11 years pursuing the mastery of the subject, Dr. Hans now teaches his proven strategies, and he believes that cryptocurrency will place many families on the path to generational wealth and legacy. And he can be found on Instagram at The Investing Tutor. So, Dr. Hans, I'm going to pass the mic over to you and Trey now.
Thank you so much, Renata. And once again, Trey, thank you so much for joining us. You all, we have a fantastic fireside chat for you today. We're going to be talking about, you know, cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, and also just hearing about Trey's story, how he became, you know, a manager at Coinbase. So first and foremost, Trey, I'm just curious, how did you convince your parents that you are going to study blockchain and crypto as you know, as a subject matter in college? I'm so curious.
Great question. And before I jump in, let me just confirm that you all can hear me okay?
Perfect. Yes, we can.
Okay, fantastic. Awesome. But yes, fantastic question. So as far as blockchain and digital currency, I still don't know if I fully convinced all my family as far as this magic internet money that I spend so much time studying, but they're really excited for me. As far as kind of my journey, It all started off when I was getting my bachelor's degree at NC State University. I'll never forget, I was headed to an economics class, which in retrospect, maybe it was meant to be with crypto and the economic focus. But I was headed to my last economics class ever of undergrad, and I stepped off the bus and I got hit by a car just like that. My life changed in an absolute instant. And it was a moment that I'll never forget. Now, thankfully, I recovered fully from the car accident, didn't have any long-lasting injuries. But what did change forever was really my, excuse me, my outlook towards life. Because I realized that, man, like, things could change at any time. So if I want to make something of myself, I've got to do it right away. And so over the course of the next couple of years, I really looked for something to be passionate about and something that was worthwhile really dedicating my profession too. And that's when I found crypto. Once I did, much like many people in this room, I went down the rabbit hole and I was absolutely fascinated. And I was determined to not only go and to learn about cryptocurrency and invest in it, but I was like, hey, like, we're early. There's plenty of projects getting started. Let me see if I can dive in and find out ways to help. So that's a little bit about how I got into crypto and my journey. Happy to talk any more about things that happened after that.
Yeah, so many of the listeners are beginners, right? They haven't even gone down that rabbit hole, which I've gone down and you have obviously as well. So I want you to kind of paint the picture and the core things that like kind of blew your mind about, you know, crypto, Bitcoin. I'd love for you to share that. So for example, how did you come to learn about crypto, right? So how did you identify this nascent industry? And when you went down that rabbit hole, what were some of the things that you discovered that absolutely blew your mind?
Yeah, so I first went down that rabbit hole because I was working in the traditional financial industry. So I had a chance to learn firsthand about how the financial system works, how money moved, and all the complexities, the fees. And especially for me, my focus was on like digital payments like ACHs and wires, but also checks. And it just blew me away about how it was 2017, but so many payments were taking a long time to process and with incredibly high fees. I think that that's the part that initially hooked me, because when you think about the way that money moves right now, I know that our audience here is probably all across the globe. If we wanted to just send US dollars to each other, how would we go about that? We might have to use Western Union. We might have to use some other bank. And that transfer would likely take multiple days and will be very expensive if that person isn't located here in the same country. With blockchain and digital currency, it doesn't matter if that person is here in North Carolina where I am, if they're in Africa, if they're in Europe, it's all the same as long as they have an internet or satellite connection. And to me, that's really where the light bulb clicked as far as making money, making sending money as fast and as easy as sending an email.
Wow. For me, I remember, you know, going to Bank of America and I'm having to wire money to, you know, another business. And I go up to, I go talk to this. First and foremost, I have to drive to a bank, sit in the waiting area for like 15, 20 minutes. They call me up. I walk up to this person and they just take so much information. And after that transaction, they tell me that, the money will be there in 24 hours. Like, that is when I realized, oh my gosh, once individuals understand how quickly we can send money to anyone on earth who has an internet connection, it's game over. So for me, that was kind of like, that was one of the moments where like the light bulb kind of went off. And can you talk about even beyond just kind of like the movement of money, some other utilities that we can use kind of like crypto, Bitcoin for?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that's one of the great parts about kind of how the blockchain and crypto space has evolved over the past couple of years is because previously all you could do with Bitcoin was to either buy things with it if people would accept crypto or to invest in it and hope the price goes up. Now there is so much. So a couple of things that I really enjoy. So first, there is a concept named payment streaming. And so with this concept, I know that most people here on this call, you may get paid once a month or twice a month from your role. But do your bills only come in once a month or twice a month? No, not at all. And so for a lot of people who are in poverty or having problems with their finances, it's not because they're not making enough money. It's because their money isn't coming in when they need it. So one really interesting application of blockchain and digital currency is the ability to stream payments over the course of a period of time. So for example, what if you got paid instead of once a month or once every 2 weeks, every minute or every second? So that type of use case is something that is fully powered by the blockchain and is actually available today. That's one that I really like. Another one that I used recently is even taking out a loan here using blockchain and digital currency. And so with this sort of decentralized technology, you can take out loans from the blockchain network opposed to having to use a traditional bank. What the benefit of that is, one, it's much faster. So I was able to get this loan approved in a matter of 30 seconds. I kid you not, opposed to something that would take multiple days, if not weeks, for my bank. And so that sort of financial access is something that's going to make a huge difference in the lives of people across the world.
Trey,
I'm curious. Yeah,
sorry to interrupt, but did they have to check your employment history? Did they have to check your credit score? Did they have to check, did they have to do kind of like a background search to approve that?
Wonderful question. No, not at all. And so with the interesting part about DeFi-backed loans and using some of these decentralized applications is it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're located, your credit score, your employment, any of that. And instead, they're able to go about it many different ways. For example, they may use your cryptocurrency as collateral for the loan is the way that I did for this specific loan. I know that there's several different options. So it completely gets rid of the barriers for entry as far as getting loans, as well as lending out funds as well and making your money make money for you.
So for someone who is perhaps listening to our Fireside Chat, who is hearing Bitcoin, and they've been hearing Bitcoin, seeing it on the news, but they are wondering, like, what is Bitcoin? So to a beginner, someone who's new to this space, how do you describe Bitcoin?
I think one of the easiest ways to understand Bitcoin is kind of like a blend between gold and a traditional currency like the U.S. dollar. Here's what I mean by that. So when you think about gold, people find gold to be valuable for a couple of reasons. One, they know that there's only a scarce amount of it in the entire earth. As a result, not everyone can have it. And so that means that a gold ring or a gold bracelet, it has value because gold is scarce. There isn't that much of it. And also, people know that the price of gold, it fluctuates over time based off of what people are willing to buy or sell it at any given time. Now, on the other hand, you have the U.S. dollar. Now, the U.S. dollar or many other currencies can be used to purchase any number of things, whether it be your fast food or dinner, or if you're saving for retirement or even buying a house. It can be used for any types of purchases. Now, Bitcoin kind of sits in the middle in that people find that it has value because there is a limited amount. So there's that scarcity. There will only ever be 21 million Bitcoin ever created. So because there is that scarcity and that limited supply, people find value in each individual Bitcoin. Now, similar to gold, the price of Bitcoin, as I'm sure you all have seen, it's very volatile and it fluctuates depending on what people are willing to buy or sell it on different exchanges or on different websites. Now, on the other hand, similar to the U.S. dollar, you can use Bitcoin to buy any number of things. So I've used Bitcoin to buy my wedding ring. I've used Bitcoin to pay for my master's degree. I use Bitcoin to buy a whole host of other things. And so you can use it as a spendable currency, just like you would the U.S. dollar. So in that way, it's a hybrid between gold and a traditional money like the U.S. dollar.
Phenomenal. So what problems would you say is Bitcoin solving?
Mm-hmm. I think the first problem is, so when you look at currencies that have been controlled and maintained by governments, whether it be the U.S. government or any government throughout the world, these currencies have a relatively short lifespan, typically in the span of a couple of hundred years. And the reason for that is because these currencies, they are dependent on that specific government to make wise financial choices, which often they don't. So in many countries, they choose to inflate their currency, which causes for its value to decline over time. This creates some serious problems for the people who hold the currency, who find their wealth disappear very quickly. So that's the first kind of problem that Bitcoin aims to solve, because it's fully decentralized. And what I mean by that is there's no Bitcoin company. So there's no company that controls how Bitcoin operates or makes decisions about what should happen. And instead, that is done by a community of people all across the globe. And they get to instead make the decisions about Bitcoin as a community. And so in that way, it's decentralized. The other problem that Bitcoin aims to solve is creating the first currency that has been made specifically for the internet. So when you think about most traditional currencies, whether it's the US dollar or the euro or the pound, these currencies were not made specifically for the internet. And as a result, they can't really do many of the things that an internet native currency can do, like Bitcoin or like Ether or many of these other cryptocurrencies. And so as a result, Bitcoin is really, I like to think about it as money for the next generation, and that it unlocks many features and benefits, which I'm sure that we'll talk about today, that simply aren't possible with traditional currencies.
So then there are some, let's just call them influencers, who have this belief that we should have one native internet currency, right? So, well, I shouldn't just say influencers, because, you know, he's a CEO as well. Jack Dorsey, he believes that he wants to focus only on Bitcoin and to support Bitcoin, because it's like, hey, let's not get distracted. Do you believe that individuals, or let's say CEOs or influencers, should kind of come together around one native currency? Or do you think we should just let the ecosystem evolve and then the best, you know, cryptocurrency wins? What are your thoughts? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just my personal perspective is that decentralization is at the core, is the core ethos of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. And therefore, it is beneficial to the entire industry, as well as the humanity as a society, for there to be multiple cryptocurrencies and for them to continue to innovate and compete against each other. Now, what I will say is that I really commend and respect Jack for all of his work. And I think that it is vital to have leaders who choose specific currencies themselves to use their resources or their company's resources to develop. However, I hope that we continue to have hundreds, if not thousands, of different cryptocurrencies, so that there are options for people to choose. Because one thing that you learn as you start to learn about this technology is that each of these cryptocurrencies has a different kind of specialty, and they're looking to solve a different problem. And so in that way, I think it's also important to have many different options.
Yeah, I agree. So then for the minority, for the underrepresented, you know, individual listening, right, that comprises of women, immigrants, minorities, millennials, you know, people who weren't born into rich and wealthy households, right? Why should they care about crypto?
Yep. So I think that you should care about crypto for a couple of reasons. So first and foremost, I think that it is one of the most important things, I think personally in my lifetime, that we make sure that as Bitcoin and these other cryptocurrencies start to become more prominent and more used, that the populations that you just referred to are not only included in the conversation, but that they're helping to build this new technology. Because the reason why I feel like that is so important is because we here within the blockchain and crypto industry believe we're building the future of finance. And as a result, it is vital that we're doing so in a way that includes people from all different walks of life. And so as a result, by becoming part of this community, you are directly helping build the future of the financial system. And I think that's an incredible opportunity. The next reason is because just purely from an investment standpoint, Bitcoin in particular is the highest performing financial asset of our generation so far. As a result, there's an incredible amount of wealth that's being created right now. And most of that wealth, if I'm being candid right now, is going to not the populations that you just mentioned, thinking about minorities or thinking about other typically underrepresented populations. And so it's important for these groups, including the Black community, to get involved and to start investing into this technology responsibly, of course, to make sure that we are getting the benefits of that wealth creation. The last thing that I'll mention is just from a professional perspective. What I can tell you is that working in the blockchain and crypto space right now is similar to if you had started working at, let's say, Google or Facebook or any of these large tech giants when they were first getting started. Right now, there's an opportunity for people to make an outsized impact, which will pay dividends for not only their respective careers, but create generational wealth from the salary and the stock benefits and all these other benefits that you get from working within the crypto space.
Yeah. Trey, you know, as you were saying that, my childhood best friend Jake is listening to this conversation. He just got into an MBA program. Congratulations, Jake.
Congrats.
And I was telling him the other day, dude, look into crypto. And I was telling him, look into crypto. And he's like, well, anytime I bring it up to any of my peers in the class, they are kind of like, you know, oh, what's that? Or like, they kind of just like, you know. And I was trying to break it down to him. And I know we're going to talk about kind of like how you got into Coinbase, but this was the example I gave to him, Trey. I was like, Coinbase listed on the stock market and the valuation was a little over $100 billion. By comparison, Goldman Sachs at that time of listing was about $132 billion. I mean, that is like, most people wouldn't even understand what that means. But like, this is, you know, the first listing of a company, and it came so close to Goldman Sachs, which is a multi-decade financial institution. So I shared that with him, and I was like, Jake, you have to take this crypto, you know, ecosystem seriously, because what many people don't realize, Trey, is that the kind of like the financial world that we see right now is essentially all moving onto the blockchain, literally, right? Which means that there is a significant transfer of wealth. And most individuals, you know, day to day, they go to work, they come home, they don't see what's happening, right? People don't know that NYDIG is onboarding like Main Street banks. Like, individuals don't know what's happening in the financial system right now, you know, with Gary Gensler as the SEC chair who taught, you know, blockchain and crypto at MIT. Like, And I'm trying to like you know, share this. So I'm just so happy that you're joining us today and you can kind of help paint that picture. So Trey, I'm curious, how do we onboard more underrepresented groups, you know, into this ecosystem, whether via careers or even just them having or holding the asset?
Yeah. So I think that it comes down to a couple of things there. So first, thinking about how we can onboard them into the cryptocurrency industry as far as investing and starting to use this technology. What I can tell all of you out there today, especially those of you who haven't got started yet, first, you're not too late. I know that a lot of you may think, oh, Bitcoin is at 46,000 or however, whatever the price is today. I'm too late to jump in. Let me tell you that people have been saying that same thing ever since I got started. I first got into crypto when Bitcoin was at $3,500. And people were even saying then, oh, Trey, like, you're too late to make any money. It's too late to get started. This is a waste of time. So let me tell you, people have always said that and they will always continue to do so. And what I think that the benefit that you all have here today, especially those who haven't gotten started, is that it is easier today than it ever has been to get started with cryptocurrency. So you can get started with buying crypto on Cash App or on PayPal or on Coinbase or on Gemini, Binance. The list goes on and on. And there's so many places where you can invest safely and responsibly than there ever was before. And so I think that that's the first benefit that you all have. So I would encourage you all, if you don't have any crypto, buy $5 worth today just to see how it is and to start learning, because that's one of the biggest things about this industry is that it's not one where you just sit on the sidelines and kind of observe. It's one that you take part in and start to join the communities. And I think that you all are taking that first step today. The second thing, as far as what you mentioned, as far as getting more people into companies like Coinbase and others, a couple of things that I would share. So first, I would start off by saying that you belong to be here. I want to repeat that. Y'all belong to be here, and you would add value to the industry. Cryptocurrency would be a better industry and a better technology if it had more people like the people in this audience. And so I want for you to understand that and to really take that to heart. And especially because, and to know, you don't have to be a technical person. So I've never written a line of code here in my life. Most people here within the industry haven't as well. We have roles all across the spectrum, whether it be here in project management like myself or on our support team, marketing, legal, sales, etc. And that's just Coinbase. And there's many other communities that you can get involved in as well. So those are a couple ways people can get involved.
You all, I hope you heard that. Like, the ecosystem, the industry needs us, right? When we participate, it helps bring that diversity of thought. When you become a part of like these types of companies, you get stock ownership or stock shares in the organization, which at other traditional companies, you're just not going to get, right? So if you're listening to this, consider, exploring that space. One thing I would be honest to tell you, other underrepresented groups and minorities who are working at these companies are open to kind of providing some guidelines, mentorships, things of that nature when you reach out to them. Would you say that's true, Trey?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can say that 10 times over. So I'm one of the, we have an employee resource group at Coinbase for our Black employees. I'm one of the leads for that. And I can tell you that we spend an incredible amount of time thinking about how can we better serve our community? How can we make sure that now that we're here, that we're bringing people along here with us and to make sure that those opportunities are ample and available to people across the globe. So you can reach out to me personally. I'm most active on Twitter and LinkedIn. Feel free to reach out to me. And I think that we not only are we help, am I happy to help from a just pure career perspective, but also think about scholarships, because I think that education is the key when it comes down to this industry. So one thing that I worked with Coinbase to create earlier this year is a scholarship for 5 underrepresented minorities every year to get their master's in blockchain and digital currency at absolutely no cost, zero cost. And what I can tell you is that this master's degree is one of the biggest kind of secrets to me when it comes down to things that people can do to advance their career. There are less than 500 people in the entire world with this master's degree. You all know about how much cryptocurrency is taking off and how much potential this technology has. And so with this master's degree, you have the ability to become an expert and learn from an accredited university. So that is something that would set you apart for your career. So I encourage you to Google it, just Coinbase scholarship, and you'll find more information. Feel free to reach out to me if you're interested as well.
Jake, if you're listening, after the MBA program, we might have you do an additional year in blockchain. So Trey, what are some of your favorite crypto assets? And if you can talk about, why you kind of like that token or that crypto app.
Yeah, so a couple of my favorites, I'll save my top 3. So first and foremost, Bitcoin. It was my first one. It will forever remain my favorite. It's the one that I think that there is the most long-term potential, and I just have absolutely no doubt Bitcoin isn't going anywhere. So I get paid some in Bitcoin. I invest in Bitcoin. I even mine Bitcoin. So very big into it. That's my overall favorite. My next favorite is Ether, or you may have heard of it from the Ethereum network. This is one of my favorites because what the Ethereum blockchain is aiming to do is to make money smart. And what I mean by that is making it so that you can actually build applications that leverage money. As an example, I was talking earlier about taking out like a loan using cryptocurrency. That's something that you can do using the Ethereum blockchain. That payment streaming application that I mentioned, also on the Ethereum blockchain. You can kind of think about what they're trying to achieve as programmable money. So it's a fascinating concept. The last one, and just a personal favorite, is named Pool Together. Now, the reason why I love Pool Together is because it is an example about how cryptocurrency is exploring concepts which are going to become absolutely huge here in the future. Here's what I mean. So everyone here on this call is probably familiar with a traditional lottery or buying a lottery ticket. So you go to a gas station or a convenience store, you buy a lottery ticket, maybe it's one of those scratch-offs, you scratch it off and you see if you won. Now, these tickets cost like maybe $5, $10, and if you win, awesome. Maybe you're a millionaire, you might have just won some life-changing money. But for most people, they do that scratch-off and unfortunately, they didn't win. And so that $5 or that $10 that you spent, it's just gone forever. Now, here's what Pool Together has done. So if you Google Pool Together, they have created an application built on blockchain technology, which is what I refer to as a no-loss lottery. So what that means is that when you participate in the Pool Together lottery system, then you are able to, like a traditional lottery, throw your name in the hat to win a large lump sum. But where the difference comes is that at the end of the lottery, or during the lottery, better said, they are able to generate interest on all of the funds. And so everyone who has pooled their funds together, hence the name, that those funds are in a blockchain-based interest-bearing account. And then at the end of the lottery period, all those funds that are that interest that was made is given to the lottery winner. Now, what that means is that lottery winner, they have an awesome payday, which they're really excited about. But perhaps even more interesting is all the lottery ticket holders still have their tickets. So they can either choose to keep their tickets in the system for the next time, or they can choose to get their money back completely. So that's what it means to be a no-loss lottery. So when I talk about applications like this, these are things that don't exist in the Finance 1.0, but and can only exist due to blockchain technology. So this is what I mean when I say we're truly building the future.
Oh my gosh, did you just say you can get a lottery where you get your money back if you don't win?
Okay.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I thought, you know, I thought Bitcoin crypto has already blown my mind, but like this is on a different level. I mean, wow. Pool Together. Okay, I'm going to go look it up. That is absolutely fascinating. So I want to transition to look at how you, found your career. So kind of walk us through that journey. So give us a snapshot of you, discovering this program, blockchain and digital currency, and then walk us through how you came to find out about Coinbase, and when you became a part of Coinbase, like what are some things that you'd want others to know about the ecosystem or the company that, so walk us through that timeline and give us kind of like snapshots.
Yeah. So in early 2018, that's when I had found the master's degree program. I had initially found it because there is this very well-known and very well-respected speaker named Andreas Antonopoulos. And so I really enjoy his books and his YouTube videos. I encourage you to check him out if you haven't already. And as I was watching one of them, I came across the fact that he was an instructor at this university named the University of Nicosia in the country of Cyprus. Now, if I'm going to be honest with y'all, I had never even heard of the country of Cyprus before this. I started doing this research. But when I started doing my research, it really just hit me that this program was for me because leading up to that fact, I had been spending probably 10, 15 hours every week learning about cryptocurrency, reading different white papers, watching videos, reading books, but I didn't really have anything to show for it. And so that's to me why I wanted to go back to school, because I wanted a structured way to really up-level my knowledge about this technology and establish me as having that background so that I could use that to advance my career. So I mentioned about how I applied to the program and I actually took the first course, which is completely free. I would highly recommend that you all go and to check it out, stop by Industry Experts, and you can find it by Googling UNIC and then the word MOOC, which is MOOC. So that's UNIC space MOOC, and that's how you can find more details. So I took that first course of the program, which is free, and I ended up getting, I think, like a 99% or something, which made me eligible for a scholarship. So I went and enrolled in the program. At that point, was working full-time as a project manager, and then was in school full-time, super busy time. But I really enjoyed it because this degree was the first time that I felt that I had really found my place from an education perspective. We studied concepts like the fundamentals of money and really digesting the theories of it. So thinking about what is money at its core? Why is money important? How do you build a money that stands the test of time, et cetera? We also spent other classes diving deep into blockchain technology, of course, and how to leverage it and how to build blockchain-based companies and so on. Once I graduated, I wanted to work for a company that I truly believe would change the world. And here in the United States, Coinbase is the leader when it comes down to blockchain and digital currency. And so they really were at the top of my list to want to work for. So I applied for a job here as a project manager, got accepted, and then I moved to San Francisco to begin work. For about 8 months or so, I worked at Coinbase as a project manager over our institutional side, and had a chance to stand up some big programs over there. I then moved over to our retail side, which is Coinbase.com and our mobile apps, and I had the opportunity to work on some pretty large projects. So for example, if you all have seen the new Coinbase card, which allows for you to spend your funds anywhere that Visa is accepted, anywhere in the world, allows you to spend crypto there. That was one of my big projects. I've had a chance to work on many others since I've been here as well, before I got promoted. Now I lead a team of project managers based all across the world. So that's a little bit about my journey. Now, as far as kind of life at Coinbase, a couple of things that I would share. So first, it is one of the places where I feel like I am able to just truly do my best work. And the reason why I say that is because you're surrounded by a group of like-minded and incredibly talented people who are all here for that same goal. So there's no drama. There's no kind of like politics. And instead, it's just builders and people who are very 100% committed to building the future of finance. And to me, that's just, that really fires me up. The other thing that I enjoy is that it's an opportunity for people who are willing to put in the work and to just grind to have an outsized impact. So I never would have thought that I would have the opportunity to be a manager here at the age of 27. Or have the opportunity to lead a team of project managers and senior project managers at that, and be able to be at have a seat at the table at meetings with executives, and to truly go and make an impact when it comes down to our millions of customers. Those type of opportunities, from my experience, are rare. But I think at Coinbase, you do get to have them because of the position that we're in here as a company and how quickly that the industry is moving.
Oh my gosh. Trey, you have me thinking about wanting to go get a master's degree, and my wife will probably pass out when she hears that. And it's not even because I want to work, but it's because I'm so passionate about kind of like this space. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm curious, what don't I know? What can I learn? Right. But mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing your experience at Coinbase. I know that you've inspired so many people who are listening, you know, to take this new industry serious, right? Because it's kind of like the internet in late 1990. You know, it's like, okay, this thing is happening, but many people don't realize how it just transforms our lives. And it goes from something which is just happening to like, oh, this is the standard. And it happens so fast, a lot of people miss it. But the great thing is you are seeing it happen in real time, right? Like you literally get to see it happen. So that's why I wanted us to have this conversation. So Renata, I'll have you take over with kind of like the Q&A. And we'll also bring Chris up. I know he has a few questions.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Hans. Did we still want to just sort of quickly refresh and go over our key points from the conversation? And Mr. Edwards, feel free to jump in here if I miss anything. But really quickly, if anybody joined kind of later, anything. thing. Trey Edwards, who is a manager at Coinbase and our guest today, talked about how he was hit by a car, and that sort of was the jump start for wanting to make an impact. And we were able to go over how with cryptocurrency, you're able to send money as quickly and as easily as sending an email. That this is a blend or a highway between gold and US currency, Bitcoin is, that you can receive payment whenever you need it. And it's not too late to jump in and get some Bitcoin yourself. And that it's actually important because inclusivity with underrepresented communities is what is helping to build this system and build this this economic community here. Let's see. There's a Coinbase scholarship, which that's pretty cool. And some of the assets that were discussed today were Ether, Bitcoin, and Pull Together, which is a lottery where if you don't win, you can get your money back. And that's a whole system in and of itself. I think that's the gist of everything. And also just as a quick reminder that the program today is being sponsored by Bitcoin Africa, which is a community focused on educating everyone, especially underrepresented groups, about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. So now we are going to have a time for some Q&A. Let me see. A few of you are raising your hands, but before I answer that, Chris, I know that Dr. Han said that you sort of had the floor first.
Thank you, Ren. Trey and Dr. Hans, thank you so much for taking the time to provide just a wealth of knowledge. And hearing your story, Trey, it just puts a big smile on my face to just to kind of see where this space is progressing to and seeing how inclusive it's starting to include a lot of people. But my question is for Trey. Dr. Hans, you knocked out most of them. So the ones that are left, you know, there's a lot of beginners in this space. And I try going around and talking to my friends and, you know, trying to just enlighten them a little bit about the benefits of blockchain technology, especially Bitcoin in the coming future. I was curious about Trey. What are kind of the hardest things, the hardest hurdles, gossip or the fear or the doubt that comes with these newcomers who come and talk to you and seek advice? Kind of what is the most frequently asked concern question that you have to address with people? Because I'm sure a lot of these people on here may be having the same thing. And then kind of what is your response to that?
Wonderful question. And Chris, thanks so much for joining. A couple of things that people have shared with me just over the past couple of years. I think that the first and most frequent thing that I hear from people is they say, I just don't get it. I don't understand blockchain technology or about how these money, how cryptocurrency works and about how this money moves without needing a third party. I just don't get it. So I'm not going to invest in it. And what I always tell them is think about the internet. So we're all having this conversation. I believe that we're here all across the world, across the United States, across Africa, across many different countries and regions, even continents. Do you all know how this is happening from a technical perspective about how our voices are moving across the internet cables that are underseas and so on and passing through Wi-Fi and such? Probably not. I bet some of you do because I think this is a really smart audience, but I know that I personally don't and most people don't either. And to be frank, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter about how this technology works here on the back end, unless you're a developer or you're just personally curious. But what does matter is being able to leverage the benefits of blockchain technology. And so what I encourage any of you, if you're in that situation where you just feel like you still don't get it as far as this technology goes, don't think about like how it works on the back end. Instead, think about the value that can bring to your life. And so that's where I would challenge you to even just start using it. So get an account, whether it be Coinbase or with elsewhere, and send $5 to somebody. and look at the difference between sending that $5, especially if you choose to send it overseas, compared to if you were to try to do that same transaction using the traditional financial system. And I think that's really kind of where the light bulb begins to click with people.
Yes. Oh, that's, I have some family overseas, and trying to send them just a meaningful amount of money to help them out is an impossible task. I've had multiple times where it just bounces back because they don't know the bank, they don't know that person, they didn't KYC whoever it is across the sea. And so that money comes back to me months later, or if at all. So it's definitely one area that I think is going to be making just so much easier. My last question is there's going to be a lot of people here who are now interested in Coinbase and they want to get started. And they'll probably throw a couple of shekels, you know, $5, $10, $20 into creating an account, whether it be with Coinbase and whatnot. I also get a lot of patients and people, friends of mine, who always bring up to me, oh, there's this hack, there's this, that, and the other. You heard about all these hackers taking this money. Why would I want to put my money into something like Coinbase when I'm hearing about all these hacks? Now, I know very well about Coinbase and your cold storage technology, but if you could just enlighten and kind of help people feel a little bit more comfortable throwing their hard-earned money into a place like Coinbase in terms of, okay, if I give you my money, how can I ensure the safety of it?
Mm-hmm. So a few things. So first and foremost, Coinbase has never been hacked. There has never been a time when a hacker was able to penetrate Coinbase's systems and steal users' money. Many have tried, but we have robust and industry-grade technology in order to secure your funds. That's what makes us one of the largest custodians for cryptocurrencies in the entire world. Along with that, we have a lot of measures in place to protect your specific account. So, for example, when you go and you onboard for Coinbase in particular, we help you make sure that you set up a strong password. We help make sure that you set up two-factor authentication. And one of the reasons why that two-factor authentication is important is because it makes it so that if someone, let's say somebody somehow steals your password to your Coinbase account, they can't actually send money without actually also having access to either your cell phone or your Google Authenticator or your security key. And so that's a built-in way that we do security. In many regions, we also have what we call an account takeover guarantee. So right now, this is only available in the UK, but in the future, it may be elsewhere as well. So that if a hacker does somehow penetrate your Coinbase account and they get your password and your two-factor authentication, if that happens, we'll reimburse you up to a certain amount as well. And so that acts as almost like a sort of insurance. And so that's yet another way which we take care of our customers. Again, that part's only available in some regions for right now. But I say all that to say that Coinbase is, and these other exchanges, are a secure place to hold your money. And I would encourage you to secure them the same way you would your normal bank account. So having a strong password that you don't share with people, making sure that you are careful about how you share your information online, just to make sure that you're careful with it. But I recommend these things to not only hold most of my own funds, but even my grandma's, even my grandparents. So if they can find that it is safe, I definitely encourage you all to do the same.
Excellent. All right. Well, Trey, thank you so, so much for joining us today. Dr. Hans, I don't know if there's anything else that you wanted to include, but if you all wanted to get any more information, especially with what Trey does, his Twitter handle is Trey Edwards, that's TreyEdwards 919. And you can always find more information about the Bitcoin Africa Club and generally any other projects that Dr. Hans is working on his Instagram. And that is at the Investing Tutor.
Yeah, this was Trey. Thank you so much. And Renata, you did a fabulous job. Chris, thank you for your questions. And everyone else, thank you so much for coming up. This was so incredibly valuable. Once we have like Bitcoin
accessible to the masses. And not even that it's not accessible now. Many people are just so busy, they don't know about it. Like Tree said, in 10, 15, well, let me start by saying in 5, 10, 15 years, people are going to be blown away. I'll say one last thing, and then we'll wrap up if Trey has any final words to share. But when Amazon listed on the stock market in 1997, Jeff Bezos was just talking about this internet, and the way that he was going direct to the market was by selling books, right? No one imagined Amazon Prime, Facebook. No one imagined that you'd be able to, communicate like on an app, or Uber, being able to hit a button and a car comes to you. Like, there's so much that's going to happen in this new crypto economy that is absolutely, one, going to raise a ton of people out of poverty. We're going to have a global world that is connected by essentially like a decentralized payment system where anyone, anywhere can tap into this economy without leaving their country. The world is going to be such an amazing and incredible place. But most importantly, I just don't want underrepresented groups to miss out on this. So I thank everyone who came here to listen. I hope you took a lot away in terms of careers in this space or investments or, just interest in learning more. And Trey, thank you so much for taking the time. This means
no problem at all. Thank you so much for having me. This was truly a pleasure. Always happy to come back if there's ever anything else that would be helpful. And for everyone out there listening, thanks so much for taking the time out of your night. I hope that this was helpful. If you need anything, please feel free to follow me on Twitter and send me a message on there. It's where I'm the most responsive, and I'm happy to help. And I hope that you all get into crypto. Have a good night.
Good night, everyone.